Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show Summer Fun Edition, live with a studio audience. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's true, we actually do have a studio audience today, which seems appropriate because this is actually the last Summer of Fun Edition of the Big Show for the year. So we decided, why not wrap it up by actually having a live studio audience? And at this point, I'm just thinking the show, it's you, Anna. So Anna, tell me about you. Ha ha, you are on the spot. I can make stuff up if you want. But I'm Anna, and I'm amazing. I fly airplanes and fight dragons. Last week, I killed 3 people in a bar, and that was even before I started drinking. How was that?
Terrible. That sounds like Texas. Terrible.
Yeah. Anyhow, Anna, it is great to have you as our studio audience today. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What is the singular of audience?
audience.
So audience. Studio audio.
Lost? I don't know.
Lonely? Hostage?
Hostage. The singular of audience is hostage. Quick, yes.
Hide the knife.
No, I just wanted to say to everyone hello, and I'm just curious to listen to whatever topic you have now, whatever discussions you have, and I can't think of anything right now.
We don't have. We rarely ever have a topic, and if we have one, we don't follow it. So,
right. So really, the only deviation from our typical shows is that you're here, Anna.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a bit of a crazy day because I picked up a sofa today, like secondhand, and like a shelf for the bathroom, and didn't work all that much, like a couple hours here and there. And yeah, it's been a crazy week. But I'm very much looking forward to my weekend and to my vacation because the next 3 weeks I am off.
Excellent. So that sounds wonderful.
And I mean, the summer fun was so great. I'm just like, I kind of want to continue, but unfortunately tomorrow we go back and do the keynote poker because there is an Apple event next week. And I know the people listening to this one, to the Big Show, usually don't care about Apple, but that's the rule that we set. Like, summer's over. I mean, if I look outside here, it's kind of like it's been raining and kind of it's, fall is coming.
In all fairness, IFA is happening in Berlin right now, so it is the fall tech season.
Yeah, that is true. It's starting.
Yep. Tom, how are you doing today?
I am doing very well. Thanks, Jeff. And it's fun to be here. This is kind of birthday week in my family. We have a bunch of birthdays around this time. My wife's was Friday, my brother's was yesterday, my sister-in-law's today, and we got a couple more coming up.
So big party?
The big party is a week from Saturday to try to get in the middle of all these birthdays, but the foodie, Patrice, would appreciate it. My wife picked a restaurant in San Francisco to go to for a birthday, Cafe Jacqueline. In North Beach in San Francisco, French place run by Jacqueline, who's at least 85 years old, and it's a souffle restaurant. And she still makes all the souffle. Yeah, after the main course souffle and a dessert souffle, and then we had to walk back to the car. I think we needed a wheelbarrow to get back. It was a lot of fun.
Did you get the souffle to go?
Oh, we should have. Yeah, we should have. They were so good. It was really good. Anyway, it's great to be here. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, happy birthday to everyone.
Thanks.
And Ben, how are you doing today?
I am great, Jeff.
That is fantastic. And Ben, one of the problems that I see on the show is that you just go on and on and on. It is so hard to get you to be concise.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish I was granted that German efficiency. Oh, wait.
Well, yeah. Anyhow, Ben, as always, it's great to see you. And I have to say, I am so happy that you're back in the podcasting world again.
So am I. I really, really missed it.
And we missed you. Yeah. So, yeah, welcome back. Ian, how are you?
I'm great. Good day today. I've done another certification exam and passed it. So that's all good.
Excellent. Particularly
with moving to a new company, it's kind of, you got to set your stall out as you know what you're talking about. So they've got a basic and a higher level cert exams. I've just passed them both. So that's kind of, I've set the stall. I'm a bit more comfortable now. So I think of, yeah, I'm a good, I've been here since June for the new job. So that's all fabulous. And yeah, I'm creating new training content this week and just generally having not a bad time, to be honest.
Awesome.
Not a bad time at all.
Awesome. Well, it's great to see all of you. And I did say this is our last Summer of Fun edition of the show for the year. For those of you that have not been keeping up, what we've been doing this summer, because news tends to be slower in the tech world, instead of just taking the summer off, we decided why not just keep the show going through the summer, but do something different. So we ran with Patrice's brilliant idea that in no way did she possibly steal from Relay FM. Couldn't have happened. And we are going with a different topic each week that some have come from the audience, some we have come up with, at least I think some have come from the audience. We're just going to go with that because it sounds good regardless. And we have talked about like some of our favorite products. We have talked about musicals one week. That was interesting. We talked about different sci-fi shows. We had a Doctor Who episode as well. And today is, what are the worst tech devices we have bought?
Mm-hmm.
Also known as the PTSD episode.
Yes.
Yes. There are definitely some Kickstarter projects that are on my list.
Oh, I didn't even think to look at my Kickstarter history. Oh, yeah. I should have looked at that too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've had good luck with Kickstarter things. I tend to have gone. I was looking through my returns for Amazon to see what I'd sent back, and I found a couple of doozies anyway. So all is well.
Yeah, and I'm actually bringing up my Kickstarter account now just to see what's actually in there, because I'm wondering, do I have stuff that? Oh, let's see, view all. I've got stuff in here that I don't remember buying that apparently is, oh, wow. Gang, I actually have a Kickstarter project that's been shipped to me. It's on the way and I don't even remember buying it. So apparently I bought a USB-C cable tester off Kickstarter.
Well, you probably paid for it in like 2012.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah,
USB cable tester.
Yeah, I would tell you what all it does, but I don't remember buying it. So apparently it tests USB-C cables, and that's all I know.
Oh, wow.
And apparently I have bought. Oh, I've bought a lot of stuff on Kickstarter.
Yeah, I haven't. I have 7 projects.
I have more. Oh,
2 of them are bad.
Look at this. This is actually a bad one. All right. Well, apparently I have more. to add my list.
So this will be a 10-hour show, right?
It very well could be. No. Yeah. Okay. I had forgotten about this bad product. So Ben, thank you for really giving this the appropriate show title, because now I do have some PTSD.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to go first? And if no one's ready to go first, I can hop in, because I clearly have stuff.
I will.
Okay.
So, you've heard of all the feature phones that happened before the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the attempts at smartwatches before the Apple Watch?
Which one did you buy?
I didn't buy this. It was actually sent in to us at GeekBeat.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of kept it for, I have no idea why I ever wanted this piece of junk.
Because nobody wanted it.
Yeah, because this is a Martian smartwatch. It is a very high-priced regular watch with a display down here for
something.
That looks really familiar.
Well, it was all the rave for about a year. Then about the next year, the Apple Watch, came into being, and then that happened.
Ben, did
you just throw that?
Yeah.
See that? Yeah. Ben, I'm not kidding. I have a box, a nice sized box in my closet that's full of failed smartwatches. And and I have a feeling there's one of those in the box. They probably sent one to me too.
Because ironically, when I got that out of the bin, it's just like, this is going to be some kind of high priced thing in the future.
Apparently
it ain't worth
not.
Crap now.
Apparently not.
Oh dear God! I've just pulled one up to have a look at it and see what it was. And geez,
yeah,
that does not look high tech.
It's not.
Back to my argument before, Rolf. Just have a watch that tells the time. Don't mess about with this silliness.
Yeah. Well, it does that. Okay.
Yeah. Telephone. Yeah. Well, it looks like it does. I mean, it looks, to be fair, like a cheap watch, to be honest. The build quality does not look. There are some companies open for one have built some really interesting stuff, which has got that tech. Yeah. The Androidy kind of syncy tech in the background. Casio as well have done stuff. And it's a normal watch for all intents and purposes, but you've got kind of functionality that knits the two together to make it slightly more to make the old tech watch slightly more up to date, if you like.
Yeah, they sold the thing as premium.
If they have to tell you it's premium, guess what? It's not.
Because this thing for all 12 people who bought it was not cheap.
It's like, if you ever see a back of a watch proclaiming some feature, it's a good chance that the rest of it isn't very good. Like if it says stainless steel on the back, it's generally that's the only bit that's stainless steel. And the rest of it's zinc that's been plated to look like it.
Uh-huh.
On some of the cheaper stuff, that is very much the case.
Like my Chinese Rolex knockoff. Terrible watch, but it did come in a really nice box.
Oh, yeah.
The box was worth more than the watch.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's nicely finished cherry.
Oh,
and
nice.
Did Greeny sell one of those?
It's the future that we never was. It's a Bulova Space View. So it runs on a system called a tuning fork. So instead of it having it has a battery in it, but it's still mechanical. And that was built in the 70s.
Wow.
And that's the future. And that looks like the future.
It looks like Austin Powers.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. It's one of my favorites. I mean, they're worth. I bought mine cheaply, but it's worth a lot of money now, I discovered.
Mm-hmm. So, Ian, if it has a tuning fork in it, what key is the watch in?
3 hertz.
So that would be...
Or 4 hertz, in fact, actually, that one, I think.
Key of E?
I don't know.
No, C-flat? 4 hertz is below... Isn't that below hearing range? Isn't like 20 hertz the minimum that we can hear?
Oh, I think. Yeah, there is that.
Technically, the octaves do descend below the audio range.
Yeah, I think this is blue whale communication range for
her. Ben in the chat room is pointing out it's the key of F, as in OF, I'm late.
That could be.
Well played.
Good one, Ben. Yeah.
I have another product. I don't even know what it's called because it was so bad, I don't remember what it was called. So the story is the following. Last ever Macworld, I was in San Francisco. And on the show floor, there was a company that was selling a kind of an anti-slouching device. Like you would strap it like on your back. And when you slouched, it would vibrate and it would kind of remind you to not do that. And I was like, back then I was like, oh yeah, let's spend some completely useless money. Like, let's spend some money on something. Oh, this sounds cool, I'll buy it. So I did, and it wasn't even cheap. It was like, I don't know, 150 maybe.
And did it work? Did it work?
And I wore it for like a day. It kind of worked, but it also kind of half of the time didn't. And when it worked, it got so annoying that I just stopped wearing it after a day and never used it again. I have no, but there are, I mean, I have no clue what the company was called, what the product was called, but there are a lot of those on the market today. And all I can just say, don't buy it.
Patrice, while you're in London, if you've still got spare money, I mean, I've got a bridge if you'd like to buy one.
When you visit London, there's like a pound.
I've got a special offer. I've got a special offer on two if you're really feeling it when you see it. Okay. There's one nice one that lifts up and stuff. It's in London. Okay. Yeah.
Like for a pound, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Patrice, we have one in Brooklyn for you as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I would also try to sell her some beachfront property in Arizona, but she's been there.
Oh, that's great. Wait like 200 years, there will be a beach there again.
Right. And when the beach finally, when the shore is finally back in Arizona, that mm-hmm. probably means that the London Bridge in Colorado will be a functional bridge again.
Mm-hmm. There's one, isn't there? Some guy bought a lot of brick, every brick, didn't they?
Yep, and had it shipped out and then built, and he's like, what the hell is this?
And they will be full again.
Yep. Patrice, I have a box to match the smartwatch box that's full of like smart health, smart tech mm-hmm. stuff. I'm wondering if I have the same thing you have.
It might be. I mean, you were at the same event, so there's a good chance you bought it.
They got both.
They were really good. Like, they were really good at pitching.
Apparently.
Yeah, it must have been.
I mean, the thing, if it's the same one, mm-hmm. It goes on your back, but it kind of like runs along your spine.
No, it was like a little box like this size maybe, and like it had like an elastic strap that you would strap around your waist, and that was.
Why
kind of
would you wear that on a chair? Why would you wear?
I don't know.
Is that the one that in the packaging? And I'm not making this up as a joke. This is absolutely legit question. Is this the one that in the packaging had the warning that you shouldn't attach it to your genitals?
I don't remember. I don't think I decided because I only wore.
Was that the first thing you
got that
far?
Jeff, that's in a completely different device that you're thinking of, probably from the Vegas conference.
But the question I have to ask, Jeff, did you exactly do that once you saw that was something you shouldn't do in the packaging to find out why?
Well, of course, because you want to know what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I was wondering this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that you put the thing on. and you would strap it on. And mm-hmm. what was supposed to happen is when your posture was wrong, you get this vibrate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently they just assumed
for bad posture.
Yeah. Get rewarded for bad posture with personal stimulation. And so, yeah, I am not kidding. I do have one of those devices. It's probably still in that box.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite thing was the instruction sheet that said that you shouldn't strap it to your genitals. And I was immediately thinking, so
who tried
their office did that? And they thought, oh, we should put a warning on here.
Yeah,
I have this image now of Moscone Center, the Macworld at Moscone Center, and a bunch of people walking around going zzz, zzz,
hunched over, going oh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Best of show.
I mean, to be fair, there was a lot of weird shit on that show.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird stuff at that show.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, that's a hard one to follow.
Yeah.
Like, really hard one to follow.
And you know, you know why I remember that even? Because you were talking about smartwatches and like health devices.
Well,
it's the only reason I even remember it.
I don't think I've ever bought one of those, I'm happy to say.
Well, I'll follow that up with another smart device, but it doesn't involve strapping it on your body or using it for personal pleasure. It's a scale that Under Armour made, a smart scale. And so they did two. The one that most people remember is the one, it was like a disc shape. And this smart scale, it was like everyone wanted this smart scale. And then after a while, Under Armour decided, yeah, we're not going to support this anymore. And all of a sudden, everyone had this very expensive smart scale. It's not that one. It's the one that they did before that. The one where everyone should have learned their lesson and yet they didn't. So they did a square scale initially. And it looked like all the other square scales. And I think they actually were just white labeling from another company, mm-hmm. but with their own software and their own firmware on it too. So they released this other scale and it worked fine-ish for about 4 months, maybe 5 months, maybe. And then Under Armour said, we're not going to support this scale anymore. And then instead of it becoming a dumb scale like the round one, it was mm-hmm. bricked.
No,
really? You totally couldn't even get your bricked. Weight.
Not even that.
Nothing at all. It could not weigh. It was totally bricked. Wow. And and they did this and there were rightly so a lot of people that were really upset because they spent mm-hmm. I don't know. It was like a $250 scale.
Mm-hmm.
And at most, like if you bought it on release day, you got maybe a year's use out of it. Then it was just a brick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely, I mean,
horrible.
That's horrible. And it's something to think about. Like when you buy devices, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Withings scale that I've had for years, if they ever stop the service, it's still going to work. I mean, I'm not going to get the app and like the info, but the scale itself, it doesn't even need Wi-Fi. Like it will still show everything.
Yes. Yes. I have a Withing smart scale that I've had for so long that I couldn't even tell you how old it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it has continued to work as a smart scale through multiple iOS versions, multiple Wi-Fi router or base station replacements, and even when I've had it on, but I hadn't actually, like, periodically, if the batteries would die, you'd mm-hmm. have to reset it up. But even if you didn't get around to resetting it up, it still just worked. No Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth. It would just work. Yeah, so that's a scale that I will continue to use probably forever, because that one just simply works.
Yeah. And Ben in the chat is asking if there are no laws against this kind of thing. And I think in the EU, technically, you would have been able to return it, because you have a 2-year like manufacturer like period where the manufacturer has to guarantee it works. And if it doesn't, which in this case it wouldn't, you get your money back. So they would technically have a chance to fix it, but I mean clearly they wouldn't care, so they would have to like pay you back.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if this scale was not available in the EU.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me.
It was very disappointing.
Yeah. And yes, Nokia bought Withings, whatever, and then sold it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's done the rounds as Withings, hasn't it? It's been all over the place in terms of different companies have owned
them. Yeah, but it's back with the original founder, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Didn't Swatch own Withings for a very short window too?
No.
No, they partnered with Swatch and Withings partnered for a watch.
Yeah.
I knew Swatch was in there somewhere.
I've got another health.
But there's a company that, I mean, through all that is basically unchanged.
Mm.
Still doing great products, still working, everything's still working. I mean, they even transitioned to, what was it, Nokia Health, and everything just kept working.
Yep. And then they transitioned back to about 15 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. I have a Withings smart camera webcam.
Mm-hmm.
In yet another one of the old device boxes in my closet. And
how many boxes do you have, Jeff?
15? I have a lot. Don't say 15. Whatever you do.
Right. Yeah. Also, nothing in any of my boxes is a secret.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Patrice, there's also a stylus box. There's a headphones box. There's a fitness tracker box.
Random cable box.
Oh yeah, there's the random cable box.
Everybody has one of those.
With all the different wall warts that you can't work out whatever it worked for, but
oh yeah,
you can read the bolt rejoin it and you can kind of get. So you think, well, if you find something, you might be able to match them up one day.
Yeah, I now what I did was I actually labeled all of my wall warts.
That's a good idea.
And so now if I see a wall wart, I mean, I know what it's for. So basically, it's like an archaeological dig through my technological history. Yeah,
I've got another health one that the device, there was nothing wrong with it. It was a perfectly good device. Again, the service got pulled from it, which was the Jawbone Up Move and the Jawbone Up. Fab little products in terms of just a fitness tracker, a nice fitness tracker. The Jawbone Up did nothing clever. All needed, you clip it to you can either wear it around your wrist or clip it to your trousers, which is what I did. And it was
basically a Fitbit, right?
Yeah, exactly. Original like the original, and that was another really great product, the Fitbit one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it did exactly all it needed to do. And I bought one and it was fantastic. And the only trouble with small things is you end up losing them. So you go through a few, but
I got like
and you find the other one again after you buy another one. But they were dirt cheap as well. It was really good product. Mm-hmm. Very inexpensive, nice, comfortable. And Jawbone decided in about 2019, not bothering to support this anymore, and just pulled the service. So the whole syncing infrastructure disappeared. Everything was just part. So the rug was pulled out in front, away from us. And by that time, I don't think you could buy new ones. You were resorting to scouring eBay for one, which there was usually a few of them kicking around. But sadly, a really good product snookered by the company who didn't want to support it anymore. So that was a real shame, to be honest. A good, simple product that does a thing that you want it to do without any unnecessary nonsense.
Yes, there's one of those in my fitness tracker box.
It's probably more than one of those.
The other one was like a bangle, wasn't it, that went around your wrist and kind of like an offset, yeah, offset clip.
Yeah, that version is in the box too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the original. I mean, again, they were really good. For what they were accurate and really good devices. It's just a shame the jawbone would knob heads and decide to cancel the service.
So how long did you have it before they cancelled the service, Ian?
Happily a year or so.
Wow.
But I'd had it a year or so. I think I'd gone through two of them at this point by then. Mm-hmm. I'd had a couple of them and I'd had it about a year and it just, because I was overjoyed that I found another thing like my beloved Fitbit One that I couldn't find another one of. And perfect. That's all I need from the tracker is something that tells my phone how far I've walked. And that suits me nicely. So very simple. It's all I want. And well, and I've given up on all those things now. My phone can do it. It's in my pocket anyway. So yeah. My phone can count my steps now. And I'm happy enough mm-hmm. with that as a result. And I've got a running watch when I go for a run. So my Coros does that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I use my phone for all that now. Even when, you know, if I'm working out, I put them in my gym shorts, the phone in my gym shorts. It's not great, but it works.
That's what the Apple Watch is for.
I know. I just don't want yet another
device. Yeah, exactly. I don't need another device for that. So I don't bother.
And you already have a box full, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I've got some dead, Tom, I've got whatever you're looking for, it's probably in my closet.
I was going to say, we can have another show next week, which is, let's look at Jeff's closet.
What's in Jeff's closet?
What's in Jeff's closet?
No, that one is only on OnlyFans.
That's right. That's right.
You've heard of Summer of Fun? That's the Summer of Nightmares.
Well, Halloween is coming up, so
that's true.
I should have been more specific, Patrice. What's in Jeff's electronic computing device closet?
It's still OnlyFans.
That's still potentially OnlyFans territory. Right.
All right, never mind.
All right, Tom, what do you have for us?
I'm going to, for my first one, I was debating. All right, let me get it out of the case here. Can you see this?
Mm-hmm.
This is a Creative Labs. Let me do it the right way.
Yeah.
Creative Labs MP3 player.
Yeah, it's an MP3 player. Yeah. I remember
from
those.
From the good old days.
Sony, only Sony.
So I was the smart guy. This was I bought this after the original iPod came out, and my thinking was, oh, it's Apple, it's so expensive. You know, I don't remember what the iPod cost, the original one, but it was probably
$4.99, I think.
Yeah, and this little thing cost me like $99, and I think it was one gig. Yeah, it's one gig. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, to me just sounded like, oh my god, one gig I can put, you know,
it's like 10 songs.
No. 10 songs, right? And if you can see the screen, that little LCD screen is your only interface.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was like triple click, then hit the down volume, and then double click, and you know,
Konami code.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, you had to do Morse code to get the data.
Left, right, left, right, up, down, up, down, A, right. B, A, B, start. Ah, great. Now I can skip to the next song.
And little USB interface. Yeah, right. Up, 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 right.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, select, start.
Right. Yep. Basically, yeah, it was one of those. It was called the Zen.
And you need that to play the next song, right?
Pretty much. But, you know, going from this actually replaced my Sony mini disc player. So it was a huge improvement, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, I had to plug it into the computer and load it up before flights or whatever. And I always was so mad if I forgot to update it and I had the same songs for a 10-hour flight.
Same 10 songs, right?
Same 10 songs for 10 hours. Yeah. It was okay, but it was, the software was really just horrible, you know. That's the thing with Apple. At least with Apple, you know, things are going to work.
Apple had the iTunes Store.
Yeah, iTunes Store was pretty new, I think, when I bought this. I was, you know, I had a 500 CDs that I was able to use initially, and that was okay initially. Mm-hmm. And the whole process of ripping CDs and getting them onto this thing, you know, wasn't horrible. I just like to show it to people because I was a smart guy who didn't buy an iPod.
I don't know. Yeah. I thought he was a smart guy. I bought an Arcos. Another brand of the same.
Yeah. I don't even remember what I bought. It was a cheap MP3 player, a Gigabyte from eBay. I have no clue what it was. And then there was, but I bought like three of them because they broke all the time.
Yeah, because there was a point when those ones came out that were like a memory stick with a little bit of logic on to play that.
SanDisk made those.
Companies made those sort of ones.
Yeah, as I said, I bought three of them because they broke all the time.
The Arcos was a really good device. It was particularly good, I remember. I mean, there's still a market for those, aren't there? There's a company whose name escapes me now that really specialised in high-end audio for MP3 players, and were Kowloon, something like that. Very, very, always, so they played OGG files and things like that, you know, so super high. So it's like an MP3, it's MP3++ sort of.
Neil Young had that device. I don't think he still sells it, though, right?
No, he doesn't, because it was bullshit. it was false advertising.
Was it another one?
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah, the.
Do you have one in your box, Jeff?
I was going to say it sounds like another Kickstarter.
They wouldn't send me one. I tried to get one because I. Okay, so here was the problem. When I reached out to the company, and I can't remember what it was called. It was yellow triangle. Tube shaped thing, but anyhow,
Pono.
So I reached out to the company and asked them, can I get a review unit because I went to compare the audio quality to the iPod and you know, and all that. And I said, here's the type of headphones that I'll be using, you know, so they knew that it wasn't just going to be someone listening with crappy headphones where they wouldn't be able to hear the difference. And they were like, nope, not sending one out. And, you know, and the thing is that I'm pretty sure they knew that I knew enough that I'd do this review and say, okay, so the sound frequencies that they're saying that they're enhancing the audio with, humans literally are incapable of hearing. Right. It makes no difference.
Right.
So in other words, Neil Young, keep on scamming in the free world.
There you go. Well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah, the brand was Cowon, the one that made those other MP3 players that were supposedly high-end. I've just said eBay and iRiver was another company that made.
iRiver, they were really popular.
I think that was the one.
Still exists by the look of things.
What?
They do still exist?
It appears iRiver still exists.
Who buys that?
I have no idea. Well, someone who doesn't want to be wedded to the Apple ecosystem, I guess.
Well, I mean, then you buy an Android phone.
eBay will still sell you an Android phone
for like $30.
I suppose that's true. That'll do it, won't it?
Even if you don't hook up the phone to a service, just get the phone for $30 and use it as an MP3 player.
Yeah, it's still better than the MP3 player.
I still have one of those in the drawer beside me that I used for Android testing when I was at Geekbeat.
Do you have a box too, Ben?
No, I have a five drawer rolling cabinet.
Oh, I thought you would say I have like a 500,000 square meter warehouse
full of failed products.
That's called the laundry room.
Patrice, my box for MP3 players, I believe, is full of iPods. I don't know if there's any other portable music players in that box, but there's definitely basically an iPod museum in a box in the closet.
So you were smart enough not to buy anything else.
Right. iRiver still exists, according to a quick Google search. iRiver still exists.
You know, it says, Ian, in Wikipedia, it says they changed their name to Dreamus, but they still exist and they're selling a high-end MP3 player.
Yeah.
You know? good for them, I guess.
Why?
I have no idea.
Somebody will want to buy if you can bear
working.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, the quality of MP3, okay, I get it. You know, you could, depending on how they're ripped and mastered, there can be a big difference even for casual listening.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah, we've moved on.
I think remastering to digital from the old analog is a much bigger factor than the quality of the player that you have. I mean, I've gotten some CDs of albums that I had vinyl of. There's one BB King in particular where the mastering on the CD was just horrible, and no amount of, you know, improving the player and the frequency and the bits and all that is going to help it. The person who remasters it just screwed it up.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of cases, they're not even remastering. They're just taking the vinyl master and dropping it onto a CD. Yeah. And you have to remaster for the medium.
You definitely have to. I mean, when I finally found a CD of this album I was looking for because I didn't have a turntable anymore. And the first time I played it and I get to us through the song, I was so mad. I said, that is not the music I grew up with. Somebody screwed this up.
By the way, did we go through like everybody? Because I have another failed product on my list.
We did get through everyone.
Okay,
But Patrice, I want to tell you what else is in the box of my closet, which is awesomeness. And it's the awesomeness of TSO Host.
The awesome part.
Yes. So TSO Host, and yes, I totally get that was a stretch for a transition, but we're going to roll with it. TSO Host is awesome. And what makes them awesome is that they're here supporting the British Tech Network. They're giving us the bandwidth we need so that we can stream live shows to you every single week, including with live studio audiences. And they're giving us the storage space we need so that we can have our website, and so that we can have a place for all of the files so that you can watch or listen to the recordings of the shows at your leisure over and over again on whatever device you've decided is going to work best for you, even if it is from iRiver. And it's fantastic because there's no way that we would be able to maintain what we're doing without the support of TSO Host. And all they're asking of us in return is that we go out on social media and give them some love. Give them a thank you on Twitter or Facebook, whatever your favorite social media platform is. And just let them know that you are glad they are here supporting us. Now, if it turns out that you want to buy domain names or you need to have a place to host your website, hit them up for that and use the discount code BTN20. They're awesome at what they do, and they're giving you a discount, BTN20, to use their services. So take advantage of that.
20% off.
It's how much?
20%.
BTN20. Well, that makes sense. BTN20. Of course. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's awesome. 20%, that's significant. So hit them up for their services as well. And thank you, TSO Host, for being here for us. Now, Patrice, before we hop into you saving my butt by telling everyone where the chat is, I want to remind everyone, check your settings if you've been giving money to support the Daily News Show. Make sure that the settings for your contributions are set to auto still, because for a lot of people that got turned off, I don't know yet if enough people have re-enabled that so that the show can continue this month and then beyond, hopefully. But check your settings, because losing the Daily News Show would be awful. Kyle is amazing at what he does. He's a professional, like true professional. And he's putting together this great encapsulated tech news review for us well, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, and 5 minutes or less. Like, I still don't know how he does it, but he gets a lot across in 5 minutes.
He does. He is a master at what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check your settings and make sure that your money is still coming in. And thank you for everyone that is helping support the Daily News Show. And if you're not, and you can afford to do so, hey, think about it, please, and please do, because this would be a horribly sad day if we lost the Daily News show. Patrice, now can you please cover my butt and tell people where to find the chat room?
Of course I can, Jeff. So, I mean, if you don't have the like the privilege of like being there when we record live, you can still be in the chat when we stream live. That's almost as good. Like it's very close. And in order to do that, every Thursday 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, also Fridays 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, we stream live and you can talk to us. Like go into the chat at chat.britishtechnetwork.com and talk to us, like Ben, for example, Ben Gillam is doing. I hope I pronounce his last name right, but I don't know. Yeah, it's awesome. And you can like usually like when we go back to the news, even sometimes during the Summer of Fun, we post links and like to the articles and to the cool things that we have. We're gonna have cool things in the future again. So today we talk about the worst devices. In the future, we're gonna talk about the cool things that we discovered and that we bought and enjoy. So yeah, head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. But let's say you're listening to this after the fact on your MP3 player or podcast player of choice or whatever you're using, your $20 Android phone, doesn't matter, wherever you're listening to this right now, you can still see what was discussed in the chat room, see all the links and everything like we've talked about. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up and you put in today's date, which is like a really cool date. It's September 1st, 2022. And there you will see everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. Okay. Patrice, you said you have another crap product to share. So please do.
Yes. And I'm going to try and let's see if it works. It works. I will put that in the chat. So you have something to click on. It is the USB plasma trim, which was a Kickstarter project that I backed. I don't know. Does it show somewhere when the date was?
2013. Oh, no, that was our last update.
Update was 2013. So probably like 2012 when they started. And it was a LED, a programmable LED light strip. And the idea was, I mean, one, it was short. It was like, I don't know. It's like a foot, maybe a little bit more, not that much more. And the idea was that you could like you could basically connect them to your computer and like program them, like put different patterns and colors, and I don't know what you wanted to do with it. And then you could just plug them in somewhere and they would just do that. And the idea was really cool. And I got like two of them, I think. And they shipped late, as every hardware Kickstarter project is always. Mm-hmm. But they never really worked all that well. Like the hardware was fine, but the software for the longest time didn't ship, and then like it was kind of a buggy beta and it kind of never worked and it got abandoned.
So they shipped hardware that you couldn't use.
It has like a pre-programmed like white light, so it was fine for white. Far as I remember, it's a long time ago, but it's 10 years ago. But like as I said, it just never delivered on the promise of having an LED strip. And it was short and it was expensive. And I mean, if you think about it, like Philips Hue is like way better, way more like affordable, like way larger or sturdy, like everything. This was early, as at 2012, but it, as I said, it never, like the hardware was fine, but it, the software and the promise, it never delivered.
There's a comment on the page, the link you sent from 9 years ago. Can you please update me on the status of the malfunctioning plasma trim I returned? I shipped it to the address you sent me after going round and round. So yeah, 9 years ago, people were sending them back.
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. Like I said, mine, yeah, worked, mine worked fine and I was able to program them, but I said it just never, like, they were too, like, too unreliable, too flimsy, too everything to actually use them for anything. So I think I ultimately just got a Philips Hue and that was it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Sort of prototype quality.
Yeah. I mean, which is fine because it's a Kickstarter. Right. But I'm still, like, as I said, it was, for what they promised, it just never happened. But I mean, that's the risk of Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Patrice, I'm going to follow that with a Kickstarter.
Okay.
And Ben, I blame you because you started me down the PTSD path. And since I found out my Kickstarter history, there's now a link in the chat. So when the Apple Pencil, the original Apple Pencil, was available, I mean, you remember the whole thing. I mean, the pencil was fine. Charging it was ridiculous. You know, you had to take a cap off and it would stick out the butt end of an iPad because you plugged it right into the Lightning port. Okay, so this company, they made this thing that, what did they call it? The Quarter. And I don't know why they called it the Quarter. But basically, it's like a little rubber or silicone sleeve, you know, short little thing that you slide the Apple Pencil into. And it has a little nub that's the size of a Lightning port. So you plug it into the Lightning port, and now you have a holder for your Apple Pencil. And then if you want to charge your Apple Pencil, you take the cap off, and then there's this spot where you put the cap on the little silicone holder so you don't lose the cap, and then you can plug the Apple Pencil in. So basically what this product does is describe what sounds like a really good way to address a design flaw in the Apple iPad, Apple Pencil ecosystem thing. In reality, what it does is it makes a problem you already have worse. And after I saw this in my history and started thinking about it, I'm like, yes, I remember putting this on my Apple Pencil. Now your Apple Pencil balance is really weird because it has this extra weight, like, in the middle. It also put you in the position where you could break the Lightning port because you've stuck this other thing in there. And so if the Apple Pencil gets hit at a weird angle, I mean, it could end up actually damaging the Lightning port. And then the part that holds the cap when you're charging. Okay, first, now you have this pencil sticking out the ass end of your iPad, and it has this tumor thing in the middle. And now it has a cap sticking off to the side. And it's like if Picasso designed the International Space Station, it's kind of how it looked. So so I used it for like a day or so, trying it out, and then put it back in the box that it shipped in, and put it in the in one of my failed
in the
product
box of failed products. Yeah, I mean, Jeff, the only good thing, it was only £6 plus shipping.
I think it cost... Oh, you're right. It was only £6 plus shipping.
So you didn't lose that much. I mean, the shipping was probably more expensive than the
thing. I bet it cost more to ship than it than I paid for the product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's on the Kickstarter, there's a comment from somebody you guys might know, Adam Christensen, talking about his review.
Yep, I've heard of him.
What did Adam have to say about it?
Well, it's a pretty long post, but it's generally pretty negative.
Huh. What a shock.
Oh, yeah. That's a long one. Let me see. Can I link to that?
Oh, post? You're right. There it is.
I don't know how you link.
Oh, yeah. I think you can.
That is fantastic.
So if you want to read Adam's comment on it.
I'm scanning through his comment, and it is so Adam, because I mean, basically it's a scathing review delivered in the most polite and professional way.
It's very polite. Yeah, it's very polite. Yeah. It's super polite.
That is Adam.
Not complimentary, but super polite.
Uh-huh.
Might not be the best idea.
It turns out.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't.
May not be the best idea, you know. I think that encapsulates the review.
Well. Yeah, you're right. It is completely, you're completely right, but it might not be the best idea. Words that stuck out.
I mean, the concept is great.
Right.
The implementation is not.
It's lacking.
Is lacking.
Could be better.
Yeah. Must try harder. C++.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we should wrap up. But does anyone have one more product that we should hit real quick? Okay, Ben.
I'm going to say this is going to be controversial because it did quite well financially. Imagine what Tom had earlier, but take away the screen. that was called the iPod Shuffle.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
You had absolutely no control over your music.
Now, yep. I actually really liked
that's the a iPod feature Shuffle. In this case.
Because okay, so I get what you're saying, Ben. Mm-hmm. Now, I like the iPod Shuffle, but I had a good implementation. Mm. What I did was I set up a smart album that had all these criteria in it, like I haven't played this song in the last 3 months, falls into these genres, does not include Christmas, that sort of thing, because you know you don't want to listen to a Christmas song in the middle of July. And
why?
Well, because
it's the best time to listen to Christmas.
You know, I should go and pull out an iPod Shuffle and fix that smart album and start listening to Christmas music in July. I will fix that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Ben, for me, it was great because it was like having a radio station that was tailored just to me. And so what I would do, because of course I had more than one shuffle, I would have you know, like a different genre or genre mix on different shuffles, and because I'm already halfway to everywhere when I flying out of Denver, I could load up a shuffle and get on a plane, start listening. When the plane lands, I've either just finished all the music or it's close enough, you know, whatever. I haven't run out of music.
But I think, Jeff, you were cheating, though. If you had multiple shuffles, it's like having four playlists in your pockets.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right. Like, I was totally cheating. So, Ben, for me to make the system work.
You had to cheat.
I had to cheat.
Yeah. I owned a iPod Shuffle for like 5 minutes because I got it for free when I opened a bank account with Deutsche Bank. Mm-hmm. And I gave it to my sister because I didn't need it. That was the one and only iPod I've ever owned.
I think so, I think owning a shuffle would have frustrated the heck out of me. But I listen to when I listen to music on my phone, I go to a playlist and I hit shuffle. Isn't it kind of the same thing?
No, it's not, because on the iPod Shuffle, you have no control what is on there. Like there's no display, there's no buttons. Oh. It's like one button that you can skip things. That's it.
That's like, true. Yeah.
It was like this. I put the YouTube video in. There's like an old YouTube video about the iPod Flea, which was the parody of the Shuffle, where they basically said, okay, what if we make it smaller? And then it comes with like accessories, and one of the accessories is like a car battery to charge it and stuff like that. and like a holder where you can have like five of them on it and stuff like that. So yeah, it I'm with you, Ben.
Oh my god, iPod bandolier.
I'm with you. Like it was an interesting idea.
So Ben, did you actually own one?
Yes.
And how long did it take until you got frustrated?
5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I bought the gum stick shuffle the first day it ever went out.
Yeah.
Because I had
it was
a
cheap.
yeah, that too. It was $99. I had a Motorola Sliver with iTunes, which it was a horrible experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Basically it lasted me to my iPhone 3GS, which is my first iPhone. But when you literally have to game your media player to get it to do what you want it to, I mean, it's like I said, it was a very successful product. But looking
but because
back,
it was so cheap.
Yeah. But looking back,
I mean, I think they sold it for like $49 at some point.
$39. It was so cheap that people bought them. I mean, I can't. I could never get my head around why you'd want something you couldn't.
Well, I know. I know some people who really, I mean, to this day, have them and nanny them because they use them as exercise.
I used to see running music and things.
And that's the
and
only
it's nice
time...
and small as well. And it's nice and small as well, isn't it?
You just put them in your sports bra or something, and you're good.
Well, I mean, the second gen ones were about half the price, about the size of a quarter.
That's the one that I have multiples of. I have one gum stick, and then multiples of the little kind of stamp size.
The pre-Apple Watch, Apple Watch.
I will say.
Wasn't there a strap for that one time?
You can get a strap. It had a screen. It looked like the Apple Watch before the Apple Watch came out.
I will say the squares were a lot better device than the gum stick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
that's the one that I would use when I'd fly, and and also when I'd be out running, because they were so small. And you can just clip it on whatever.
Jeff, that tells you something. You bought one gum stick and hated it probably, and then you like the new one was better, and you bought multiple of them. So,
I liked the gum stick, but it was, I mean, because at the time it was the first, and I figured out right away how to use it effectively for myself. But then when they changed the form factor, then it was like, oh, yeah, this is what they should have released in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only iPod ever that had no display.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's true. All it had was a charging light.
Mm-hmm. And a button. Like it had one button. I think one thing you could do something with.
Yeah, it had a click button. Play, pause, forward, rewind.
Volume.
Yeah.
Oh, and volume. Yeah, all in that one button.
Yeah, and I said, again, you had to figure out what the pattern was to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the little slider on the top, play in order, random.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
But you know, the fact that they sold some and it had, you know, sold many and it had two generations, there's clearly a market segment for that. I don't think most of us are in that market segment, but I
have to say, I think it says more for the dominance of iTunes in the day.
Yeah, that's an iTunes for the product. Thing. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's true.
They were kind of disposable at that point.
Mm-hmm. Kind of disposable.
That's that. Banks gave them away. So.
Yeah, an iTunes accessory. I like the idea of the Shuffle as an iTunes accessory.
Well, if you had a 10-year-old kid and you want to get him a cheap MP3 player, it's perfect, right?
Yeah. It was kind of like having a really cheap toilet to hook up to a really good water system.
Okay.
Well, I can't get that image out of my head.
Nope.
Yeah. On that note, this has been absolutely awesome. What a wonderful wrap up to Summer of Fun, and I'm so glad that I got to be part of it and that all of you are here and are part of it too. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, as always, I'm here every week on the Big Show on Thursdays, also on the Mac Show on Fridays. Remember, tomorrow we have because the next Apple event is coming up, we have the next keynote poker where we're going to pick what we think is going to happen and bet points on it. And if you're smart at all, you bet against us because we've been mostly wrong usually. Like, just
but
don't
we're wrong
follow
with
anything.
Conviction.
We've been wrong with a lot of conviction. I mean, I think last time there was like one or two people who had even positive points, like out of the entire panel. So, and I think it was like, was it 1 point or 2 points? It wasn't even much. Like, yeah. So it's a lot of fun and we like doing it. So, yeah.
Join, I have a strategy tomorrow.
Great. Everything awesome. I'm doing, all the like podcasts, the projects, the social medias, if you want to buy me a coffee to support me, all of that you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people, like, for example, recently Ian Grant, talk about food-related stories and memories, you can head over to foodieflashback.com, where I interview those people.
Awesome. Awesome. Tom, where can people find you?
You can find me lurking in the BTN Slack room and also on Twitter at TVF_SFBay. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ben Raything. Sooner or later, you'll find me doing a new podcast that I'll probably rope Patrice into.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it, whatever it is.
And hopefully hear a bit.
Awesome. Awesome. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me, as usual, here every Thursday, talking nonsense with no qualifications or no any idea to back it up. And otherwise than that, I am usually found on LinkedIn as Ian Grant. Best place to find me. You can probably find me on Facebook if you stalk hard enough. That's about it for me. I don't do the Twitters and things. I'm too old for that stuff.
Yeah, we'll get off your lawn now. All right. I'm going to remember to tell people where to find me, unlike last week where I did not. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I'm Jay Gamut on all of those. Let's see. Most Tuesdays on the big what is that on Tuesdays? Mac Voices Live. The big show. That's today. That's the show we're doing right now.
It's almost over.
Almost over. And I finally figured out what show I'm on. And then Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS, Fridays on the Mac show, and then also on The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin, and then whatever other shows come up along the way. Thank you to all of you for being just so wonderfully awesome. Anna, thank you for being our live studio audience today.
Thank you.
You have been awesome.
That was interesting.
that is the nicest way to say that possibly could.
Isn't interesting the little sister of shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Hey, everyone that's tuned in. If you're watching live, listening live, thank you for being here. You are awesome. If you're participating in the live chat in the chat room, hey, thanks for being part of that as well. Everyone that watches or listens later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Another shout out to TSO hosts. Thank you for being here to support us. And let's see. Everyone that's supporting the Daily News Show, hey, thank you for that. Big hugs to all of you. A shout out to Mueller for somehow managing to get all of us lined up to be on the shows every week. It's just amazing what he's able to accomplish on so many levels. It's no wonder this man has to drink. It just totally makes sense.
So true.
So true. So don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac show and watch us come up with predictions for what Apple's going to announce. And our predictions will very likely be wrong, but at least we'll entertain you. And join us next week for the big show again, where we'll be back to our normal format. And then again for the Mac show, where we will find out how well or poorly we did on our keynote predictions. So thank you, everyone. Have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week. Mm-hmm.